You're listening to On Leadership with Atlanta Business Chronicle, supported by JLL. See a brighter way.
I think to be a good leader, you have to be a good listener.
You really have to meet people where they are.
Everybody had something to teach me.
You're doing this job, you got to have fun.
It's about moving the mission forward.
On this podcast, you'll hear from top Atlanta business leaders about industry, innovation, and lessons on achieving success. I'm your host, Crystal Edmondson. Today on Leadership,
we have to do our best to make sure we're providing our employees with an opportunity to continue to grow.
Ed Hayes is managing partner of the Atlanta office of Deloitte. He oversees about 4,000 employees in Atlanta and Birmingham. He's been with Deloitte for nearly four decades. We talk about why he's stayed and in this tight labor market, what he's doing to make sure his top performers do too. That's where we begin our conversation.
We have to do our best to make sure we're providing our employees with an opportunity to continue to grow. You know, that in my opinion, is our offer to them, is that we're going to provide them a chance to grow and expand in their career.
What does that look like? Is that training or is that an opportunity to move up and to advance?
It's advance and it's exposure to, you know, other ideas, other clients, other industries, a chance to grow and expand what you're working on. But certainly advancement's a part of that. But probably now more than ever, it's also very important that we're providing and meeting them where they what they're looking for in their career. So I think it's important that we're listening to our employees as well as our partners as to what they're looking for. And so we're having to make sure that we're working with what they're wanting to accomplish as well. And so it's both creating opportunities for our people to grow. We need to be growing the firm to create those opportunities while also, you know, seeking feedback and input from the employees themselves as to what they would like to be doing.
Do you think that there is an understanding from the employee standpoint that you want to know where they want to go and how they want to grow? Do you think that that's a message that's getting across to the workforce?
I think in our culture and our organization, the answer to that is yes. We have many formal ways that we're looking for feedback and input and having individuals sharing and working around what their career objectives are. So there's certainly a lot of formal ways. Most importantly to us is that our leaders are working on teams, on projects, on very specific ideas that they're working on with people where they're getting that kind of input. So we put a lot of that responsibility on the employee to be making sure that they're communicating that. But we also want to make sure that these both formal and informal means of communication from our partners or other leaders with our employees, you know, emphasize that as well.
Yeah. Ed, you oversee the Atlanta office, also Birmingham. What are some opportunities and challenges as it relates to recruiting and retaining workers in this part of the country?
I think Atlanta is unique, and I think that we've got lots of opportunity in the Atlanta and Birmingham markets because of just a few things. If one starts off with diversity of our workforce here and the talent that exists here, I think that's a big plus for this region and is something that will make for sure that we're going to continue to grow. I think that the higher education institutions that we have here in this area, in this region, emphasize that. I think that plays a big role. And you see lots of companies coming here because of that talent, that diversity, because of the university systems that exist here. So that's a big part of it. But I think the thing that really helps is the quality of life that we have here in Atlanta. This is an attractive place to live, and we're able to, as a result of that, see businesses coming here. That's important for us. It's important for everyone. And I think that helps us to be able to retain people as well. I think Atlanta has a lot to offer for those reasons.
Let's talk a little bit about well-being. And I know you all have looked at this. Deloitte has looked at well-being, what does it mean for the workforce? And one of the things that jumped out at me from the study you all did about well-being, and I found it kind of surprising, employees and the C-suites, they're really all struggling to prioritize their well-being. It's across the board, not just in one part of the organization. But something that jumped out at me, only 56% Just about half of employees think their company's executives care about their well-being, 56%, while 91% of those in the C-suite think their employees believe they care about it. So there's a big gap there. What do you think is behind that disconnect?
So, Crystal, that was one of the first items that we talk about in the survey. So it was a surprise a little bit, I think, to us as well. The leaders, I think, are underestimating just how much employees are struggling at this point and what the goal and objective should be. I think employees are looking for a real health-savvy leader, you know, not just this health promotion program. I think the good news that I read in all of that is that 96% of the executives really believe that this is their responsibility. This health and mental health issues is something that they own and want to take responsibility for. But without a doubt, there was the gap between what employees were saying and what the executives thought they were providing already.
Yeah, a big gap there. But like you said, encouraging that, you know, most of the executives felt that it's their responsibility to address it. And so I wanted to ask, how are executives sort of addressing mental health in their own lives? And I'll extend that question to you as well. Is it something that you have started to focus more on as an executive, focusing more on your total well-being?
Well, certainly it's a conversation that comes up in with lots of people. And it's something that we at Deloitte are focused on. We've got now new programs that we put in place to address and to help and to provide assistance to our people. The most important thing, I think, is transparency. It's the fact that we're asking for employees to be transparent. We're asking for our leaders to be transparent. And I think the openness around the topic is what's probably the most important, maybe the most encouraging as well, is that there's conversation around it. There's recognition of the issue. I think during the past nearly now 3 years, there's probably been a lot of focus around the topics around mental health. And I think it's just encouraging that we've got people that are talking about it and that the organizations themselves are taking this seriously, dedicating resources and capabilities around this to helping their employees.
Yeah. You've been with Deloitte for a number of years. I know you're a proud University of Georgia alumnus. And after you left business school, did you have a sense that you wanted to work for one of the big four?
I appreciate you asking. And when you say big four, it was not big four then, it was big eight. That's how far it goes back for me. There was eight firms that made up the large accounting firms.
Wow.
And I set a goal in school that I wanted to work for one of those firms. I've been very fortunate. I had an early mentor in my father that took an interest in my career and still serves as a counselor to me, you know, as recent as yesterday. So he's actively involved in what I do. And so I got to watch him work hard and to see and appreciate how that helped him advance in what he did for his career. I went to work for what was then Deloitte Haskins and Sells. We had eight firms then. We had an office the size of about 110 people in the Atlanta office. Today, I've had a chance to see us grow to well over 4,000 people in the Atlanta office. So the industry has changed a great deal. The size and scale has gotten much larger. I worked as an audit partner initially and then began working my way into other various roles and now serving as the managing partner for Atlanta and Birmingham.
What was it about those firms and the industry that was attractive to you?
I think I was initially attracted to the fact that just the professionalism of the group. It seemed like a place where you could come to work with a lot of very talented people and would be exposed to other individuals, lots of different clients, lots of different industries. Seemed like a place that you would be able to grow up. That was my assumption on the front end. And it was that for me. I had people who helped me through my career to have chances to work on various projects or clients that gave me exposure to lots of different things. And so you're always growing and expanding and getting new responsibilities. So it felt like you're on a fast track. And that's what attracted me to it initially, and then that's why I studied as well.
Let's pause here for a sponsor break and then talk more with Ed Hayes, managing partner of Deloitte's Atlanta office.
Support for On Leadership comes from JLL. JLL is a leader in commercial real estate leasing, management, investment, and technology. Together with their clients, JLL is committed to building a more sustainable future for all. Learn more at JLL.com. JLL. See a brighter way.
We're back with Ed Hayes of Deloitte. One of the things you mentioned that you learned from your father is serving the community. Can you talk a little bit about why that's important and some of the organizations and initiatives that you and Deloitte support?
When I started my career, as I looked around and looked at other business leaders in the community, I pick up the Atlanta Business Chronicle and I would see the types of things that people were involved with. It looked like to me that the most important people in the business community were actively involved in the community at Atlanta. And I do think that's a differentiator for the Atlanta market. And as a result of that, I got interested in saying, that's something I need to do. My father had been involved with United Way. I remember him talking about making campaign activities and going out and making visits with other companies about the campaign. And so I began getting interested in how I could be giving back. First opportunity I had was to work with the Boys and Girls Clubs. One of my clients asked if I would like to join the Boys and Girls Clubs board. And I was a very young professional at the time, and I learned an awful lot just by having a chance to be, you know, around other leaders and around a really important cause, somebody who was really making a big impact with 25 clubs around the metropolitan Atlanta area. I then got involved with United Way. I've had a chance to chair the United Way campaign twice here in Atlanta, and to have a chance to visit with other executives and doing visits with them to understand and share the importance of us giving back felt like a real privilege to me to be able to do that. We at Deloitte have really expanded and really made a big commitment to this. We've decided that we need to have greater purpose. We need to define greater purpose as to what we're going to do as an organization. And we've asked and appointed one of our partners to be our chief purpose officer. And we decided that we're going to have three areas as a firm that we're going to focus on. One is health equity, financial inclusion, and the third would be education and workforce development. So we're trying to make sure that as we're trying to drive kind of long-term changes, that we're going to make impact that's really going to matter.
So you've appointed a chief purpose officer, and you've got your three focus areas. How did you come up with those areas? Was it something that the team came up with? Talk a little bit about the process.
I think that it is a team effort. You know, we operate as a partnership and get a lot of input, and that's an important way that we manage our organization. But at the very top of the organization, it was decided that we need to, you know, define better what we do. And our way of doing that is to ask a partner to serve in that role to lead us around that topic. Those three areas are, you know, broad areas that we think are really impactful. Education is something that we think is an area that we ought to be involved with. We can have an impact there, certainly around workplace development as well. The equity, this that we created what is known as our Deloitte Health Equity Institute, is making big investments as to how we can help around equity issues around health. And that the financial inclusion is a natural for us as well. We think we would have a lot to offer from a skilled-based volunteer, as well as being able to financially support those issues. We think those three areas are really critical in being able to address the equity issues.
What do you think the impact is on your employees? As you tackle some of these areas and serve in some of these areas, how does that impact the culture of the organization?
I think it's significant, and I'll give you a couple of examples. As it relates to the health equity pillar, we just made a contribution to Morehouse School of Medicine for $1.1 million to address issues associated with equity and health. And that's home. That's here in Atlanta. And so for the pride that comes out of us making a financial commitment as big is that we see that the importance of that and the visibility of that. As it relates to workforce development, we've given a big commitment towards what we call MADE, making accounting diverse and equitable. And we want to go find ways that we can draw more minorities into what we're doing in our accounting practice, the accounting portion of our business. The commitment of $75 million, we're working in about 30 markets right now, and we're starting in phase one of being in the high schools. We need to educate and inform. And we've reached out here locally in Atlanta and spent time in primarily Atlanta public schools with high school students, and reached 1,000 students last year to start telling them the story, to make the students aware of the opportunities that exist in a practice, in an organization or an industry like ours. So, you know, those are two, really substantial examples of what we've done locally, Atlanta being a significant market for the firm that we thought was a way of giving back around this purpose. The third would be Harper Archer School. It's a school here in Atlanta, elementary school. We have been helping around curriculum, developing curriculum, lots of volunteer activities. We've got a whole group here at the firm that are spending time working on that as their weekend job, as to how they can be giving back and how organizing us is ways that we can give back to that school.
Wow. You all are making significant investments in the community that, no pun intended, but should pay dividends in so many different ways in years to come. So kudos to you all. Ed Hayes, thank you so much for being my guest today. Ed Hayes is the Atlanta and Birmingham Managing Partner of Deloitte. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you, Crystal. I do appreciate the opportunity to share a little bit about Deloitte.
Deloitte is doubling down on developing its people. Late last year, it announced a $1.5 billion learning and development initiative for its global workforce called Project 120. The company says the aim is to develop tech and leadership skills so its employees are equipped to meet tomorrow's demands. Well, that's it for this edition of On Leadership with Atlanta Business Chronicle, sponsored by JLL. We want to hear from you. Send us an email at onleadership@bizjournals.com. Listen to more episodes and catch up on local business news and events on our website, atlantabusinesschronicle.com. On Leadership is also part of the WABE Studios podcast network, so you can also listen at wabe.org. I'm Crystal Edmondson. Thanks for listening to On Leadership with Atlanta Business Chronicle.